Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and this is going to be one of those shows that you're going to want to listen to over and over again. We have Miss Katie Fitzgerald, our food guru, in the house. We are celebrating the winter solstice. This is December 20th, and we are going to be doing circadian rhythms. And the funny thing is, we were going to go ahead and do this back in the early November when we actually had the time change. And gosh darn it, one thing after another has really created this show to where it's divine timing. And boy, if you want to talk about your biology and the circadian rhythms and why they are so important to your internal clock, Miss Katie's going to just fill it all out for you. Miss Katie, will you love to introduce yourself? And I'm going to go ahead and get my other co-host. Miss Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I just have one thing to say. You ready? You ready?
Yep.
Does anybody really know what time it is? Don't make me.
Nobody does. The good news,
you know, you
got to
date yourself for that. Some people are like, I don't know what that means.
If you're a Chicago fan, which is a band way in the day, they had a song that calls you, do you know what time it is? So there you go. It's a Chicago song.
Well, I'm going to be the science nerd and tell you that, yes, your cells know what time it is. No matter what your clock is.
Ooh,
I know. Okay, there you go. Bam! Bam! She just slammed it. Let's do it.
I got my popcorn. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Well, it's so nice to be back with you two and talking about all things health and wellness. And as you mentioned, I'm Katie Fitzgerald. I'm a health and wellness coach and a nutritionist. I focus on helping people really get down to the root of what's going wrong or right in their bodies and helping them to adjust to the year, the time of year, because we do discount that, and it's a big piece of the puzzle. I especially think that the holidays are perfectly timed because they're timed during a time of the year where literally our bodies refuse to give up weight, and so we can just blame it on the season. We don't have to blame it on the food. So, but we can blame it on
I feel
food.
Better.
We'll talk more about that, about what happens with your body during the winter months. So, very cool. So happy to be here with you. Happy to talk about food and nutrition and, more importantly, how to make the most of this time of year. Because it's not the time of year where the light's gone away and our days are longer. It's really a time of year to kind of cocoon and get into your own space and be quiet and introspective. We're about to write New Year's resolutions, right? But I think, Robin, you have some things to say about the solstice. And I think the solstice is that beautiful moment, right? It's this moment where we're moving out of the winter and into the next possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't necessarily they just realize it, that the solstice is the longest night of the year. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be wonderful that it's also the festival of lights, where you can have such a great solstice ceremony of, you know, lighting that candle and having being something that just moves you into the, and really, to me, in some ways, it really is the new year. And we could talk about that too, because you were telling us before we came on about this, you know, tomorrow with the solstice is the time that you really want to reset yourself. So that's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the beginning of the new cycle for our bodies in terms of how we interact in our natural space. And specifically, and you all have heard me say this, that I know that human beings are solar powered. And so the sun is going to be at its lowest and its least amount of shine tomorrow. And what does that mean for us? And then what happens the next day?
is that it starts to get a little bit longer days, right? So we, if we start to think of our bodies as a growing entity and not just this thing that sits on this planet, but actually a growing entity, we are no different than any other growing entity, such as a plant on this planet. And when the sun starts to wane, we start to kind of slow down, and when the sun starts to come back, we start to regenerate and rejuvenate. So it's a fun time of year. It's my favorite time of year, actually. I love this season. I love the cold, long nights. Now, keep in mind, we're talking Northern Hemisphere. So those friends of mine in Australia, shout out Jody, shout out Alex. I know you guys are in your summer, but we're in our winter, and we're going to be going through a lot of changes as this winter progresses, especially with our weather changes that have been very dramatic. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it's time for us to actually be very nurturing to ourselves. And I think that's the most important piece of this puzzle, is don't deprive yourself of any of the celebrations, any of the celebratory foods, and any of the rituals that make up this time of year for you. Because this is our time of year to kind of reset and rejuvenate and get ready for what's to come in 2023, right? What's to come. So.
Well, I'm going to go get a cookie if I can have whatever I want. So I'm going
you
for
can.
It.
You can absolutely have whatever you want. If you drink water, it's going to turn into fat, so you might as well just go ahead and get whatever the hell you want right
Yay!
Now.
Yay! All right. All right. I feel less guilty. Thank you.
Now, why is that, Katie?
Well, because think about it. So as the season has progressed and we've gotten into the winter, our bodies are driven by where the sun is in the sky. And as you know, the days have gotten shorter, which means, let me ask you this. In the summertime, what was the earliest time you went to bed?
Oh, for me, probably 10:30.
Okay.
You know, see, and I get an hour after dark, I want to go to bed no matter what time it is, no matter what time in the year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right. So this time of year, Robin, what time are you going to bed?
7:30.
Right?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, you're feeling like, oh my gosh, it's time to go to bed. It's 7:30.
You know, but what? I'm getting up at 5:30.
Right. And you don't care.
Right, because... Yeah, the sun's getting ready to come up, and by about 6:15, the sun's up, so I'm usually out the door by about 6.
Right. So you're very
I'm going to bed at
7:30. Going on with the sun, right? And
yeah, people are like,
so
you're weird.
No, you're not weird. You're actually in tune, or what we would call in the scientific world, we call it entrained, E-N-T-R-A-I-N-D-E-D, entrained to the sun. So your body, you're letting your cells on your skin, your eyes, everything be influenced by where the sun is in the sky. And that tells me you probably get outside a little bit during the day. So, and or you have windows that don't have curtains throughout your house so that your eyes are seeing where the sun is in the sky.
I usually try to get outside as much as I can, but I love being up and out in the sun, like the first, because I know that the first hour of being out on the sun, the level of energy that your body receives is twice as much than any other time of the day.
Absolutely.
Because if it's the right energy is rising onto the rising onto that certain part of the, you know, for us for sunrise, it's rising into the energy of the earth at the same time. So we're benefiting from that as well as our own internal, where you're talking about ourselves, because ourselves, you know what time it is. Mm-hmm.
They know what time it is. They don't need a clock. By the way, we call the clock, the thing that you look at on your wrist or on your cell phone, we call that the social clock, okay? Mm. That's not the biological clock. Your body could care less what time, daylight savings, who cares? Body knows what time it is. And what happens is in the morning, most importantly, and this is a really important piece of the puzzle, is as the light of the sun starts to rise above the horizon, even if you have your eyes closed, the skin has receptors for that light. And it senses that the light is coming from the sun. And so what happens is it triggers this beautiful, beautiful influx of cortisol, to be produced by the body. And cortisol, you might know as the stress hormone, but it's actually more than that. It's the, I call it the alert hormone. And what it does is there'll be this huge influx of cortisol right in the beginning of your morning when the sun comes up. And that's what wakes you up. Without it, you would never get out of bed. So it comes up and it peaks. And about 30 minutes after you've woken up and gotten out of bed, it plummets. And it comes back down to kind of a normal level, right? What it did is when it peaked, it all night long, it's been slowly rising. And melatonin, which has been the big component of your hormones at night to help you sleep, melatonin's been slowly decreasing. And so when they get that surge of cortisol, the melatonin's kind of like, it's time for me to go to bed. So melatonin drops back, and now you're awake. And the body goes, okay, I'm awake. And the cortisol says, okay, I don't need to be so crazy. I'll go back a little bit. And then for the rest of the day, your cortisol will slowly drop throughout the day. Hits pretty much like its base level at around 3 p.m., 4 p.m. Anybody feel like a nap?
That's oh, God, right. Always at 3.
Right?
Yep.
Now, see,
right?
That's when I want my cookie.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? You need that energy. Right?
Right. Right. That's what it's cookie
right.
Tea time.
It's
well, right,
time.
In a lot of cultures, isn't that when they have tea time, around 3
yes,
or 4?
It is, absolutely. And at 3 p.m., what happens is your melatonin starts to rise. And in the wintertime, because when 3 p.m. hits, the light is significantly lower from the sun than it was in the summer. So your melatonin starts to rise much more rapidly and becomes much more prevalent. And as a result, you want to go to sleep earlier. So if you're paying attention, now if you stayed in the house and you didn't have any windows open and you couldn't see what time, you know, your eyes couldn't see the light, your body would be all screwed up. That's why shift workers and nighttime workers have a problem, because their bodies are being forced to be awake during the time when they would normally be asleep. And it's not just, I mean, they can get 8 hours of sleep during the day and then wake up and go do their shift. The problem is they're doing their shift in the dark. And so their body has a huge amount of melatonin, which says go sleep. So, and by the way, it's actually a health hazard to work the shift, the night shift, because
well,
it is.
And we have a sister who is a 911 dispatcher and changes her schedule. She on a regular basis, every 3 months or something. What kind of things would you recommend for her when she has to keep changing or shifting?
Right. So with somebody who has to change their shift or work a night shift, one thing I would highly recommend is figure out how you make this happen. But you need to get yourself into a routine where you are working, quote-unquote, normal hours, meaning that you get up. Like I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm out walking. I come back at 8 o'clock. I start my work day. I work from 8 to 5. I'm done with my work day at 5. I go make some dinner. I have dinner with the family, et cetera. I have a normal schedule in that regard. So when their schedules shift, they need to keep that same rhythm, i.e., you still need to have, you know, 8 hours of work, 8 hours of sleep, a couple of hours, 4 to 5 hours of downtime in the morning or in the afternoon, depending on their schedule. But the idea being don't shorten your day from the perspective of like, oh, I just got home from my shift, I'm going to have dinner and go to bed. No, don't do that. You wouldn't have done that if you were working a normal shift, right? You would have come home at 5 o'clock, you would have had a dinner, eat at 7, be done by 8, get ready, start to wind down by 9, be in bed by 10. So what does that translate to in a day shift versus a night shift? Keep that kind of rhythm and keep it consistent. Yeah, because those people who are like, oh, I'm still awake and I'm energetic and I can stay awake for 9 more hours. No, go to bed. Most of us, I get done at 5. I don't know about you guys, but I get done with my workday at 5. And by the time I'm ready to go to bed, it's 10. So that's a 5-hour window from the time I finish my work to the time I go to bed. So if I'm working the night shift and I get done at 7 o'clock in the morning, I should be going to bed at noon. Period. Whether I feel tired or not, I should go to bed. So keep a rhythm. That's an important piece. The other piece of that puzzle, this whole idea of blackout curtains, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one, I know I will. Blackout curtains are irrelevant. You do not need blackout curtains. Our ancestors did not live in huts that had blackout curtains, okay? Our ancestors actually woke up every night between 3 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the morning, which was the predator hour. And the only reason that their bodies knew to wake up is because there was enough light from the moon or whatever sources of light coming through the huts that they lived in to tell them, hey, it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Go check and see if there's any predators in your camp. And it's called the vigilance factor. And we are – so, by the way, if you're wondering why you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's why. And then you go right back to sleep, right? You check out your situation. You're like, hey, we're good. There's no coyotes. There's no tigers. We're good. Go back to sleep. So that – the idea that blocking out all light is a good thing for sleep, and I know a lot of scientists think it is, it's really not. I've spent a lot of time camping in my life, and I guarantee you the starlight is pretty bright when you're out in those mountains, and that's what our ancestors had. They did not have light pollution from the city. So there's enough light out there that is hitting our cells of our skin, on our eyelids, on our hands, et cetera, that's telling our bodies it's time to be vigilant or it's time to be awake. So the most important thing for somebody who works a shift, a night shift, is they do need to get out and get some sunshine. Super important, super important. And any time that they can get out there and get some sunshine on their body, really important. Their body will adapt. It's not destined that they're going to be unhealthy because they work a night shift, but they've got to keep giving their body the hints, the reminders, the markers that say, here's what time it is. Remember, I said your cells know what time it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? And they know it because of the light that's coming from the sun. So get out there. By the way, moonlight also does have some recognition by the skin cells. Not as strong as the sun, obviously, but when there's a full moon, have you ever noticed this? I think you two probably do notice this. Have you noticed on a full moon night or a couple of nights where the moon's really, really bright, you wake up somewhere at a weird hour, like probably 1 o'clock, maybe even 2 o'clock, and you're like, why am I awake? And then you look out and you go, what's that streetlight doing still on? And you realize, oh, that's not a streetlight. That's the moon.
The moon, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and what is the moon? The moon is the reflection of the light from the sun. So the more a person working shifts can get outside and get that exposure to the sunlight, the better, just to keep their body knowing what time it is.
That's great. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Hey, Katie, let's talk about some of the different physiological things that having good sleep, having good rhythms are affected by. I think I went ahead and looked online a little bit today just to get an idea of, you know, some of the things that we're talking about. And it's pretty, gosh, it's pretty shocking the amount of things that having good sleep, having good rhythms really affects. So let's talk about metabolism.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. So interestingly enough, so every hormonal system in your body is basically regulated by the rhythms of our seasons, all right? And so I alluded earlier to the fact that this is the time of year. Don't try to lose weight. Really, seriously, that's just the stupidest goal you could have this time of year, because your body is programmed during the cold winter months of the Northern Hemisphere to hold on to any and every excess amount of energy it can in the event that there is no food. Right. Now, we know that we don't live in a space anymore where food is the big issue, right? We can just go to a grocery store. But our DNA doesn't know that anymore yet, okay? Our ability to go to a grocery store or even go to a garden and grab food, it's only about 12,000 years old. Our DNA has been around for 99.9% longer than that. So our bodies think we're going to starve in the winter, basically. That's what they think. So they start to, at the end of the fall, our bodies start to just sequester fat in storage and be like, okay, I'm not going to give up any energy I don't need to give up. That's also why you don't feel motivated to exercise, by the way, because you're moving into a semi-hibernated perspective. We're not bears. We don't hibernate like a bear. But we do slow down. Did you notice that? Do you feel really energized to go out and do a 12-mile hike tomorrow? No. All right. You feel energized to maybe, like, get up, but not to go do a hike. And so that's one of the first things you're going to notice is this time of year, our metabolism doesn't slow down. What it does is it goes into conservation mode. So think of it like your pantry, you know, at the height of your pantry, you had a full pantry, and now you're down to just a couple cans of this, that, and the other, and a few bags of rice and a few bags of beans, and you're starting to conserve. That's what your body does, because it's fearful that there will be no food in January. So it's going to start to conserve, and so if you restrict the food that you're eating, if you restrict your calories, guess what your body does? It goes, oh, I was right.
Oh, no.
So this is not the time of year to diet. This is the time of year to make sure. Yep. This is the time of year to nourish. This is the time of year to feed yourself and feed. What is in season? Let me ask you this. When you think of the winter season, let's think of one or two fruits that you know for sure are in the grocery store in the month of December in the Northern Hemisphere. What are they? Two fruits.
Oranges and apples.
Thank you. Perfect. You're an A student. All right. What are two vegetables that are, I know, right? What are two vegetables that are always in season in December?
Potatoes and carrots.
Thank you. You're an A student, too. So let's Woo-hoo! See, what do these all have in common? Anybody? What's one thing that these, the apples, the oranges, the carrots and the potatoes, what do they all have in common?
They're boring.
No, they store, they have long longevity when it comes to storage.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Right? They last a long
time. Was that an A? Was that an A answer? That was an A answer, right?
That was an A answer. That was an AP answer, your advanced placement. Okay.
Wow.
So here's, think about these vegetables and these fruits. What do they all have in common? They do have long storage. Why? Because they are very high in fiber, and they're also high in carbohydrates, and they do well in a cool situation. In a cool situation, by the way, most people don't know this, but the apples that you bought today in your grocery store probably were harvested 2 years ago. So they last a really long time in cold storage, right?
Yeah.
And because their sugars don't break down really fast. Because of that amount of pectin and other fibers associated with these vegetables and these fruits. So these are, but what else do they have in common? They're very, very high in carbohydrates. And what is a carbohydrate? It's a stored form of sugar. And sugar is a form of energy that our cells can use very readily without a lot of effort. Right? And so think about it this way. You're in the winter. You're fearful that there's not going to be any food. So you eat a potato, which has food, it's nutrients that will break down slowly and beautifully in your body and sustain you for a long period of time. These are very sustaining foods. These are foods that you eat a potato, you probably don't need dinner after you ate a potato for lunch, right?
That is dinner, yeah.
Yeah, they stick with you, right? So these are stick-to-the-ribs kind of food. We'll talk about meat in a moment. But the key here is that if you look at what comes into season at this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere, these are foods not designed to help you lose a few extra pounds. They're actually designed to help you keep your storage intact and potentially even pack on a few pounds.
It's working.
So, there you go. And I always say that every year. I'm like, look, my body's doing its job. So, right, which is why the worst thing you can try to do is try to lose weight this time of year. It's just not going to work. It's not helpful. It's not healthful. It is just stressful. So don't do it. That doesn't mean that you get free license to go out and eat all the donuts you want. But it does mean that, you know, if you're feeling like you want a big bowl of potato leek soup, do it. That's what your body needs right now. Because, again,
you know what?
Not
on a crave level, I don't think I've got, that's going to happen, but that's okay.
Well, here's the thing.
like, oh man, I just need that big bowl of leek soup. Yeah, no.
Well, I just need the baked potato. Give me the baked potato with butter, for God's sakes. That's all I want. But
yeah, exactly. With cheese on it.
Right? Okay, so what does the cheese, what does the butter have? They have high concentration of beautiful fats. Fats are a source of fuel for your body, and they are warming. They're a warming source of fuel. And what's so interesting when you start to look at what we eat in the winter and what we crave in the winter versus the summer, summertime, gazpacho, I want gazpacho all day long. Don't give me a gazpacho today. I'd be like, what are you feeding me, a gazpacho? For goodness sake, no. All right? So our bodies are intelligent. Our bodies know what they need. And at this time of year, they need nourishing foods that are one thing that apples and carrots and potatoes and oranges all have in common. They're very, very high in essential vitamins and minerals. So we need those for a good immune system, right? So if we listen to what our bodies are craving at this moment and we listen to what's available in the marketplace, I'm not talking about the strawberries in December. Those are not real. Those are coming from someplace that, you know, has strawberries, i.e. the southern hemisphere, not the northern hemisphere. But if you start to eat what's in season, your body will be nourished for what it needs at this time of year. And with the shorter days, longer nights, colder weather, we cannot afford to lose any subcutaneous fat. That's the fat on the outside of our body, not the stuff inside. It's the layers of fat on the outside of where our skin is. We need that for insulation. And this time of year, you really don't want to be losing any of that, so because you're going to get cold. We do want to lose visceral fat if we can, and we can do that by eating a lot of fruits and vegetables and healthy foods and not so much processed food this time of year, which there is a lot of processed food out there on our plates during the holidays. But we honor what our bodies need. Honor. That's the word I'm going to say. Honor it 85% of the time, 15% of the time, go for whatever the heck you want. And by the way, 15% of your meals, if you were to look at a seven-day week, is one day of meals. 15% of the week is one day of meals. So if you're going to have a celebration with your family coming up soon, just plan that day to be your day, that you're 15%, right? You eat whatever you want. Don't think about it. I give you permission. The rest of the week, eat real food, all right? Eat whole, beautiful vegetables and beautiful meats and beautiful herbs and spices and nothing processed. But that 15%, that one day out of the week, I know mine's coming up this Saturday with my family, I have every intention of eating the blueberry coffee cake that I'm making. I have every intention of eating the macaroni and cheese that my sister Leslie's making. I have every intention of indulging. Right?
There you go.
It's one day.
Sounds delicious. Yes. So with the whole thing with the circadians, you know, another aspect of it, you know, we've got heart rate, blood pressure, body temperature, and you could go into a whole, we could have a whole half an hour
hormones.
Conversation about the hormones. Yeah, hormones and how that even affects your urine production.
Absolutely. It's all tied in. It's all tied in. Which is why you need to stick with your circadian rhythms. You need to work with the rhythms, not against them. That's why you want to get out in the morning. The first thing you should do is the moment you get up, go outside and let your eyeballs get exposed to the sunlight for at least 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Eyeballs, no sunglasses. Let your eyeballs.
No sunglasses.
No, let the eyeballs get exposed, and then your body's whole rhythms will get in alignment with where the sun is and what's going on, and all of your hormones and your, which is why, like you said, even urination is part of this process because that's dictated by hormones. And so the more you can, I call it harvesting for hormones. Go out and let your eyeballs harvest the sun so that it can feed and nourish the cycles of all the hormones in your body.
I love that.
No, that makes me think.
That we can do. We can actually do that.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Self 5 minutes.
Well, you know, when I think of like in Hawaii, everybody always stops to look at the sunset.
Right.
Right? So, right. You know, having that where you got up in the morning and you basically take a few minutes with a great cup of coffee or tea or whatever, preferably tea because, you know, isn't it true the studies show that you should not really drink coffee till about 8:30 or 9 in the morning because your rhythms would be totally off if the first thing you put into your system is coffee.
Right. Well, it depends on the person. It depends on what your DNA is. If you've got, you know, if you're what we call a fast metabolizer of caffeine, you'd be fine. But if you're a slow metabolizer, yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So,
well, I recommend go out and look at this, you know, get some sun on your eyeballs and maybe set your intention for the day.
There you go. And a great little cup. You know what you can do if you want something warm to put in your body instead of coffee? How about a warm cup of water with with half of a lemon squeezed into it? Take that outside, sip it while you look at the sun, and let your body get back in rhythm with the earth.
I love that. Yeah. That's a great ritual.
Yeah, that is a great ritual.
My stepmom did that every day. She was a hot water with lemon gal, and I think she was wise. She knew what she was doing. So
there you go. There you go. Something for the new year. But start
absolutely.
Now.
Let's
because,
do it.
You know, with this, you know, you've got the longest night of the year coming tomorrow. So why not start with the new light coming in, bring in that new energy, that new vitamin C and the vitality of, you know, being solar powered, you know, woo, get yourself up with that.
Yep, you got it. You got it. Solar powered girlfriend. Yep.
Well, half an hour is just never too long with you, Miss Katie.
Never.
No, we could have talked for another hour and a half, and we still probably wouldn't have covered everything.
I know. There's always just so much to share and talk about, and thank you again for inviting me to be here. I do appreciate being part of this program.
You're regular here at the cafe, and we love having you whenever you can jump on in the cafe and get some. Yeah, it's always good. With a little hot water and some lemon, it's all good.
And you bring
sunshine
to us, so we appreciate your sunshine.
Thank you.
For sure.
I appreciate the work you guys are doing.
Yeah, I want to thank our audience as well for this last year, just being here and checking out our shows and giving us comments and ideas. We just really love all the different conversations that we're having, and we look forward to next year. You know, we're up to 520 shows, and we're just going to keep on going. We'll have Miss Katie on at least a few more times. So hopefully this beginning of this year, we can talk about, you know, how do I set 23 in a way that's good for me. There we go.
There you go.
Good.
I love that. Oh, my God. I love that. 23 in a way that's good for me. That's great.
23
thank
is good
you,
for
Amy.
Me. I know. It's
thank
all
you,
good.
Amy.
So
you,
happy holidays to everybody. And thank you again, Katie, for just all the great information that you provide for us.
My pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.